Welcome to our continuing study in the book of Matthew. Matthew, as we've said before, and we repeat it again today, and that it is the teaching gospel, where in every chapter there are wonderful truths that God wants to impart to us. Well, we're coming now to chapter 23, and the Lord is speaking about the scribes and Pharisees, and basically this chapter is broken up into two parts. The first part, the Lord is speaking on humility, and then the second part, he will be speaking about the false leaders, false spiritual leaders. And so that's how we're going to divide our study at this time. Now, I want to speak, first of all, concerning humility. Because, you know, what we are and our attitudes do affect our minds. For example, in Colossians, it speaks of the fact that wicked works alienate or cause our minds to be against God. So that if we do things that are wrong, it affects our mind, it affects our whole personality, and we become a person that is alienated or is against God. Now, in the same manner, this thought of humility and its counterpart, pride, is very important, because in the prophet Obadiah, he speaks in verse 3 of the fact that pride has indeed deceived the people of Edom. They were very proud people, but because of that pride, they were completely deceived concerning spiritual things and concerning many other things. And so it is very important that we do listen to the, the preface of this chapter concerning the need for humility, because pride deceives. And in the last days, the Lord spoke constantly concerning deception. Well, what is the key to not being deceived? Well, it is humility. And what is the key to being deceived? It is pride. So we don't want to be like the Edomites, you know, in Obadiah, of whom the prophet said, well, pride hath deceived thine heart. But we want to humble ourselves, and we want to have the mind of Christ, so that we understand the things that are coming upon the earth. We understand the things that are important pertaining to spiritual things concerning eternity. We want to understand those things, and the key lies in our attitude. Well, on the subject of humility, we have no greater role model than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I would like to turn with you into Paul's epistle to the Philippians. And in this epistle, he speaks of a very important attribute, if I could say that, that we as Christians must have. And so he says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And now he's going to indeed reveal the mind of Christ to us. And that mind, he said, look, let it be in us. Let it be indeed that which motivates us, that which makes the choices for us. And so looking at this exhortation of the Apostle Paul, we are told, first of all, that Christ, you know, didn't think it robbery, didn't think it wrong to be equal with God, because after all, he was God. He was the Son of God, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes from that position of equality with God. But in the will of the Father, God wanted to empty Christ of all his divinity and become a babe, as it were, in the womb of Mary. And Jesus willingly made those steps down from the glory of the Father right down to becoming a babe in the manger in the arms of Mary. And look what it says. First of all, he made himself of no reputation. Now, isn't that contrary to our line of thinking? We think our reputation is so very important indeed. And we think, oh, how people view us is so important. Well, Christ said this, that his reputation meant nothing to him at all. And then he took upon himself the form of a servant. He not only became as a man, but he became as a servant. He was a servant of God. He came to do the will of God. You know, it is written in the scriptures, "Lo, I am come to do thy will, O my God." And so, you know, Christ humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross, the most humiliating death that it was possible for any judge to inflict upon a man. Well, that was crucifixion, and Christ submitted to that. So here he is, he's being emptied of all his glory, he's coming down, and there we have the thought. Christ emptied himself of all his glory, became like a man, became like a servant, and then submitted himself to the death of the cross. Well, that is humility. And King David expresses humility in another form. And I'd like to look with you in the Psalms. In Psalm 131, King David expresses, shall I say, his attitude. And it's an attitude of a very great man. In Psalm 131, he says this, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." In other words, David was content to know and understand the things that God wanted him to understand, but he wasn't inquisitive. He didn't try and penetrate higher levels, but as he expressed himself, you see, "I have behaved myself and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother." And there he was, just like a little babe. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when challenged by his disciples to declare who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he called and summoned a child. And he said, he put this child in the midst of all his disciples. He said, "Look, except you become as a little child, you will in no wise inherit the kingdom of God." And so there we have one of the great keys of, shall I say, entering in and progressing in the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus put it in another way. In the Beatitudes, he said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what did that mean, the poor in spirit? Well, actually, that word means an attitude of a beggar. an attitude of beggar. He has absolutely nothing. And he craves the benefits of some man passing by to give him a penny or give him a dollar or so forth that he might eat something. He is absolutely dependent upon the goodness of somebody else. And you see, that is the attitude that God wants us to have. You know, a complete dependence upon God. You know, John the Baptist put it like this. He said, "What have we that we have not received?" And then again, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. He said, "Well, who made you to differ one from another?" And when you come down to it, the basics are, is God. God made us different. He didn't make everybody the same. We know that. Some have attributes, they are very musical. Others, like myself, don't have them, you see. In other words, God gives to some, and certain gifts gives to others, other gifts. And it's God who made us. And the Apostle Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." By the grace of God. And so this whole thought of humility is very important indeed. It is the key to understanding the mind of God, to understanding the ways of God, and to receive from God. So it's very important. You know, I'd like to turn with you right to the end of the Word of God, into Revelation chapter 22. And it's something that I was shown when I had a vision of heaven. And I'd like to share it with you because for me it's very precious. And it's in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. It's speaking of the servants of God. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Well, this is what I saw in heaven, a huge amphitheater. And, it was so very high at the back, and it came down step by step by step by step, down, 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 down. And at the bottom, there was a throne of Jesus. And I watched people coming in, the servants of God coming into that amphitheater. They all came in from the top. But you know, the nearness to Jesus was dependent on the humility of Christ that had been worked out in their lives. And therefore, the pride, you know, those who were very proud of what they had thought they had accomplished here on earth, well, God resisted them. They were in the back. But the people who realized, oh, they were nothing. It was God who had done everything in their lives. They could come down lower and lower and lower. They came into the close proximity, fellowship and union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the first part of the teaching of Matthew chapter 23, the absolute necessity of humility. And so I'd like to turn back now to that chapter with you and look at the other things that Jesus said. Well, basically, what he's speaking of now is the false leaders, the false spiritual leaders. And he really castigates them. And look at this verse with me, please. In verse 13, it's really the book of woes for the false spiritual leaders. And it starts in verse 13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." What does that mean? Well, basically, it means their doctrine is all wrong. because of the pride of their heart, they're deceived concerning the most elementary truths of the Word of God. And you know, there's something that we have to learn in this teaching here at this time. You know, God is saying, look, the key is humility, and humility will enable you to discern the right way from the wrong way. And it will enable you to discern who are the true spiritual leaders, who are the true pastors, and who are the false. Well, because of pride, one thing was very clear indeed, that these scribes and Pharisees didn't know the way into the kingdom of God, and what they taught kept people out, and they also kept themselves out. So it's very important that your role model, the one who is your pastor, must know the truth. Because Jesus said, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But if you don't know the truth, and if you don't have the truth on the inward parts, as King David said, how are you going to lead a person? You can't. And what is truth? Well, it simply is this. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. A top scribe and Pharisee came to him one night. His name was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a man who was well disposed in the realm of learning, but he was not really conscious of truth. But he looked at Jesus and said, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are sent by God, because no one can do these miracles except God be with him. Now, Jesus comes right to the point concerning Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus, for all his, shall I say, good disposition concerning Jesus, had no idea of this truth whatsoever. And Jesus just marveled. He said, look, you're a leader of the scribes and the Pharisees, and yet you do not understand that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, what do you mean? Do I have to enter into my mother's womb again? And Jesus made it very clear indeed, and he said this. He said, look, there's a natural birth and there's a spiritual birth. There's a man has to be born by water and the Spirit. Water meaning the natural birth, and the Spirit being the spiritual birth. When we ask Jesus to forgive us our sins and come into our hearts, then we're born again. But you know, Nicodemus did not understand that. Well, apparently after a time he did, because he with Joseph of Arimathea was with Jesus at his burial. So he came to his senses and he became a true leader. Well, you've got to look at these woes, shall I say. These other woes. Those who devoured widows' houses, you know, for a tent, made a long prayer. And, you know, widows in those days, there were many, because the tendency was to, shall I say, marry a girl at a young age, whereas the fellow was considerably older. And so he would die before his wife, and he would leave her with a house and possessions. And along came these scribes and Pharisees and said, look, let us pray for you, and we'll make a long prayer that God will look after you, and that prayer will cost you your house. Wicked? Oh, terribly so. But there are many spiritual leaders that prey upon the poor and the destitute, and by them they are enriched. Well, we go on. You know, they were so confused, these Pharisees. Look at this one. You know, this is what they said. If anybody swore by the temple, well, it didn't mean a thing. But if they swore by the gold of the temple, then they had to do it. What a lot of nonsense. What did Jesus call them? Well, he called them fools and blind. You know, blind guides, leading the blind, and they all fall into the ditch or into hell. No, you've got to really come to grips with things, because after all, your spiritual life is more important than anything else. You know, there was something recounted by John Bunyan, not in his Pilgrim's Progress, but in another of his books. And God permitted him to have visions. And one of these visions was to see a grocer, and this man was in hell. And this is what he said. Look, he said, I was very diligent in my business, and I went to all the successful businessmen and asked them for direction, for ideas, for ways to improve my business. And he said, I listened to them, and I wrote them down, and he said, they guided me. And he said, I became very wealthy and very successful. But he said, when judgment day came, he said, I may have been rich in the things of this earth, but concerning those things that are spiritual, he said, I never went to the right people to ask them what I had to do to indeed enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know, you want to consider this. Many pastors will say to you, well, we don't know. You know, you can but hope, but you can't know upon this earth whether you can go to heaven or not. That is not true. You know, Jesus made it very clear. If you're born again, you're going into the kingdom of heaven. And this is the all-important thing. You know, as you listen to me, and we're coming to the close of this lesson, you know, I plead with you, go to those who know what they're talking about, who have experience of God, who understand the Word of God, who can open the Word of God, can explain the Word of God accurately to you, and can lead you in to the born-again experience, whereby you will have the assurance here on earth that when you die, you will go to heaven above. And not only that, they will indeed teach you how you can indeed have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Peter wanted for his, shall I say, converts. Not just to get them into heaven, but to have an abundant entrance. And therefore, in order to do so, you've got to find the pastors and spiritual guides who have experience with God, who have experience in the Word of God, and indeed who know what they're talking about, not these blind guides who lead the blind and fall into the ditch. But no, these people who indeed walk uprightly. And look, Jesus finishes on this note. He said, look, the all-important thing is this, that they apply themselves to the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And you want to be led by someone who has the law of God written on the fleshly tables of their heart, who are filled with the mercy of God, and are filled with a strong faith that they can impart to you, and you can live this life by the faith of the Son of God. Oh yes, let us learn the lesson. Humility will open your eyes, and you will be able to discern who is right, who is wrong. And you want to follow those who know what they're talking about, those who've had experience with God and can impart that same experience to you, whereby you can have the assurance that you're on the pathway of righteousness, and that pathway grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So the older you get, you know, the more light you have, the more assurance you have, the joy you have, that your eternity will be spent in heaven above. May God bless you, and ask God, give me your mind, give me your humility, so that I can discern those who should lead me and can lead me on the pathway of righteousness, so that my life here is well spent in preparation for that which lies ahead, eternity in heaven above. And that is my desire for each one of you, and that essentially is the lesson of Matthew 23. God bless you, and please meditate in that chapter. It is very fruitful.